The number of Americans who believe in God, pray daily, and attend church regularly, that number is dropping. Rod Dreher is a Christian and senior editor at the American Conservative.
It worries me to see it fading away and fading away so quickly, not only because I'm a Christian, but because I wonder what's going to come after this.
Dreher's new book is called The Benedict Option, a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation. And he says that you ought to worry about America being post-Christian.
As Ross Douthat, the New York Times columnist, who is himself a believing Catholic, has said to progressives, if you don't like the religious right, just wait till you see the post-religious right. It's pretty scary.
Why? What's scary about the post-religious right?
Well, a lot of them are driven by race and issues of racial identity. And I think this is a tremendously dangerous thing for our country. I don't think many people would argue with that. But I myself have had some contact with some of these folks, and they have, in fact, Richard Spencer, the white nationalist who has been in the news so much this past year. I met him once in Dallas. He was home in Dallas visiting his family, and he called me. This was before anybody knew who he was. I just knew he was a conservative, and we got together for a drink, and I brought up Christianity, and he said that he hated Christianity. He was a Nietzschean, and I sat there and listened to him talk about his worldview very calmly, and it chilled me to the bone, frankly. Because here's a guy who was clearly very intelligent from an upper-middle-class family in Dallas, and he believed things that are so far outside the mainstream that I just couldn't believe it. And here he is now in the national news. This is what I think we have to look forward to for a lot of folks once Christianity fades away.
Do you make a connection between President Trump and the modern Republican Party and the decline of religion?
You know, yes and no. I think Trump, even though he was voted for by the overwhelming majority of evangelicals, I think Trump is a symptom of the decline of religion. I find it hard to imagine that a man like that could have been elected president in a time when we were a more faithful country. But I think it's certainly true that among religious conservatives, that's my tribe, that we have for a generation or more placed so much of our hope in the Republican Party and thought that the country was basically a moral country, a Christian country, and if we only got the so-called right people in office, if we elected more Republicans, got more conservative judges on the bench, everything was going to work out. Well, that never was true, and it's certainly not true now.
What are you recommending American Christian conservatives do about Donald Trump?
Thank you for asking that. This is a question that is on the minds of a lot of thoughtful Christians on both sides of the issue. I understand why a lot of my fellow conservative Christians voted for Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton had on many occasions signaled that she finds our sort of person deplorable, and she was a threat to our religious liberty. And a lot of Christians I know just despise Donald Trump, but they voted for him anyway with a very heavy heart. That said, I really am troubled by how uncritical so many Christians are of Donald Trump, of the things he does, of the things he says, of his complete lack of ethics. I think this is going to come back to bite us on the leg in the end, because we are being associated with Donald Trump, because some of the loudest Christian conservative voices, almost all on the evangelical side, not among Catholics, are supporting Donald Trump. And I think by placing so much emphasis on worldly politics, we ignored the culture, and we did not see what the culture was doing, the secularization of culture was doing, even to the church.
Do you find modern secular society more morally troublesome than America's history of enslaving and stealing from, who fill in the blank, the savages, the dark people?
Right. Right. Well, look, you're talking to somebody who grew up in the Deep South and who lives back home in Louisiana now. And it's just disgusting to imagine what happened here within living memory in my own place, the way African Americans were treated. And to think about all the white Christians who did not stand up against that. I mean, that we can't erase that.
Well, more
from
than
our
not
history.
Standing up against, the Bible was used as the rationale and the justification, wasn't it?
Sure. Sure, yeah, but you're right. But there was never any Christian utopia, and there never will be, or the utopias don't exist at all anywhere. That said, The thing that worries me about where we're the time we're in now, even though it's so much better in many ways, is that we don't have a center anymore. And so how do we measure progress going forward? How do we know that we're progressing away from bad things and toward good things? When you look at what happened in Nazi Germany, you know, things that were supported by many church-going Christians back then, it is terrifying what is in the human heart to do. And I don't think we'll ever create a society and that is not susceptible to doing that kind of evil. But nobody does evil thinking they're doing evil. They do it thinking that they're doing good. And what worries me is if we don't have any sort of agreed upon transcendent source of morality grounded in something beyond the here and now, that the sky's the limit. It doesn't seem that way to us right now, but just wait.
You're listening to Rod Dreher, whose latest book is The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. And your response to this secular techno-culture is to call for American Christians to separate themselves? You call it a modern monasticism? What is that life like?
Right. We're going to hold on to our faith and indeed our humanity and what we know from the Christian scriptures defines a person. We're going to have to step back from the torrent of the cultural currents of secular modernity, not remove ourselves from it. I'm not saying let's go hide in the hills. I don't think that's desirable or even possible. But rather, we have to do like a lot of modern Orthodox Jews do, which is to say, if we're going to live in the world but do so as faithful Christians, we have got to strengthen our practices in the home and in community, in our houses of worship, in our institutions like schools, and get a much stronger sense of our identity as separate from the post-Christian world. In other words, if we are going to be for the world who Jesus Christ expects us to be, then we're going to have to step back from that world and be a lot more contemplative and self-disciplined in our spirituality.
And we have a lot of that now, right? That homeschooling and or private schools and many Americans' life, sort of social lives revolve around the church. And summer Christian youth camps, and we have these institutions. So what are you calling for that's any different?
We compartmentalize our lives. Church is what we do on Sunday, and as an add-on to the rest of the week. What I'm calling on us to do is to think more like the Benedictine monks who build their entire lives around prayer and the worship of God. What that means practically for ordinary lay Christians who live in the world is separating out away, for example, from media culture. I'll give you a concrete example. In my family, we have a television in the home. We have three kids, but the TV is connected to Netflix and Amazon streaming. My wife and I curate what our kids get to watch, and the TV is not on all the time. In fact, it's off most of the time. The reason we do this is because we don't want advertisers to seize our kids and to catechize our kids, and we don't want the mainstream Hollywood to catechize our kids. The thing I want to emphasize, though, is it's not like we're living in some Christian bubble like a lot of evangelicals. We're not evangelical. We're Eastern Orthodox. We don't live in this sort of world where the only music they listen to is contemporary Christian music. We actually expose our kids to things that are in the outside world. But my wife and I have control over this. So we, as I said, we curate what our kids are exposed to. I think that we live in a culture that caters to our every desire. It tells our consumer desires validate themselves. And if we want it, we should have it and we should get it. I think we have to make a conscious act of the will to stand back from that, to learn how to deny ourselves things for the sake of a greater good.
How does this highly religious approach to modern life compare to a Muslim life, which I hear Christians sometimes criticize? Like, they'll never fit into our culture. They pray five times a day, etc.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, as a conservative Christian, whenever I see a Muslim woman in hijab or dressed that way, I actually feel a little sense of support for her because she's believes so strongly in her faith that she's willing to risk the scorn of others to identify as a Muslim. That said, I think that, you know, a lot of progressives who see Christians as the great threat to the public order by the things we desire and by how different we are, they ought to ask themselves, do they see Muslims in the same way or devout Hindus? Because it's easy for a lot of progressives to feel sympathy for religious minorities who aren't Christian and to have this double standard in the same way that a lot of conservative Christians have a double standard too, want progressives to give us room to be ourselves, but we're not willing to do that for Muslims.
Finally, Rod, we started out talking about the decline of religion in America. I'm in Seattle where religious affiliation is especially low. What's your message to non-Christians listening?
I would ask my progressive friends not to assume that the worst spokesman for Christianity, the most political or crass or ugly people in the public square, represent all Christians. Christians have a lot to give to this country. They've given a lot to this country, and we have a lot to give. But we just ask for the same kind of tolerance and liberty in our personal lives that progressives have asked for a long time. I think that we're in a very dangerous time in this country when we're coming apart at the seams politically, culturally, religiously. And I think that if we're going to try to hold this thing together and get to a better place and get through these challenges we're facing now, we've got to learn to love each other and to be more tolerant of each other. And that includes tolerating the right of our neighbors to be wrong.
You want to hold things together, Rod. Yet your book is, you're advocating keep staying more culturally separate.
Well, no, I think that, you know, in American history, one of the great advantages of living in America is that we have had room to be different. I want to keep that going because this is my country too, and I want my kids to grow up in a country where people are living in relative peace with each other and prosperity. I doubt that's going to happen, but we have to keep trying. We have to have hope that people will listen to the better angels of their nature, but we also have to prepare for that if the day should come when they don't do that anymore. The genius of Martin Luther King, the moral genius of that man, was he believed in love and not returning hatred for hatred. I think this is going to be a tremendous challenge for all of us Christians going forward.
Rod Dreher is senior editor at The American Conservative, and his new book is The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation.